Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN, where it's 11:32. The weekend box office numbers have come in. And pretty much, if any of you went to a movie this weekend, you went to see Frozen 2. It took in a whopping $127 million. $127 million. That is a Disney record for an animated opening. Ford versus Ferrari, which, by the way, Frozen 2, I gave a Dean's List B. I liked it. I don't think it's quite as strong as the first Frozen movie, but thoroughly enjoyed it, and your kids will enjoy it too. Another movie that I absolutely loved, and this one is a little more of an adult oriented film, Ford versus Ferrari. That's the number two movie of the weekend with Matt Damon and Christian Bale. The number three movie of the weekend, let me go to number five and work my way back to number three. Number five movie of the weekend, the World War II film Midway. The number four movie of the weekend is the New York City cop drama, 21 Bridges. And the number three movie of the weekend, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Fred Rogers movie that stars Tom Hanks, took in $13.5 million, which, you know, it's not a terrible opening weekend.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
But compare that to $127,000 Frozen 2 took in. It's absolutely amazing. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is not a Mr. Rogers biography. If you want something like that, get the documentary that came out last year, which was superb. This movie features Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers, but it's almost a supporting character in this film. The primary character in this film is a magazine writer, very cynical, kind of negative guy called Tom Janod, who was assigned to go interview Mr. Rogers. And he goes to meet Mr. Rogers, and he can't believe how nice he is and thinks he's a big fake. And, you know, the whole, you know, niceness is a big facade. And as he, you know, gets to know him a little better and interviewing him more for the magazine article that he's writing about him, learns that Mr. Rogers is the real deal. And he takes this guy who is so cynical and so negative and whose life is just a mess. He has a horrible relationship with his father, played by Chris Cooper in the film. His life turns around because of the kindness, the generosity, the honesty of Fred Rogers. And in that way, you get all the nostalgic touchstones that you want when you go to see this movie. If you grew up with Mr. Rogers, you're going to feel very nostalgic when you see this. But I think even if you didn't, it's a story about kindness. It's about how somebody's kindness is contagious. That's really what this movie is about. It's a lovely story. Tom Hanks most certainly will get his sixth Academy Award nomination for this film. Matthew Rhys plays the magazine writer in the movie. He's quite great. As I mentioned, Chris Cooper is in the film as well. There's a lot of really nice performances, but a lot of nostalgia, that's for sure. So let's start off with the Tom Junod interview. This is the real Tom Junod, the magazine writer who was assigned to go interview Mr. Rogers. And he talks to me a little bit about this movie and how Mr. Rogers changed his life.
Short answer? Utterly amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never, and still have never really sold like another story to the movies. And that this story became the story that not only, you know, became a movie, but, you know, this movie at this time is to say that it's shocking is an understatement.
Yeah. Aside from, you know, the obvious nostalgic value in doing anything on Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
What do you think the attraction is in this? It's multi-leveled, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think it's multi-leveled too, because I think that this movie would have, you know, found, you know, had an effect on audiences no matter when it came out, but that the fact that it's coming out now when, you know, there is a Fred-shaped and Fred-sized hole in the world I think it shows that the movie is not just a good movie, but also just a great opportunity to, you know, reach out to people and I mean, I don't know, maybe make people put on the brakes for a second and say, like, where are we going?
Yeah.
And do we really want to leave this behind?
People will see the movie and how it's interpreted, how you met him and your relationship with him. I'm going to assume that the movie pretty much got it right.
But yeah, I mean, the movie takes a lot of liberties in terms of plot when it comes to, you know, like, you know, my parents and things. But that, I mean, his outreach to me is the thing that it gets exactly right.
What was your initial reaction, though, when you met this unbelievably kind man?
Well, I was, I mean, my...
Were you put off? And, I mean, the skeptical journalist would go, what's his deal? When's the other shoe going to drop?
I mean, mostly I knew eventually that I was going to have to make a decision on this. Because, I mean, one of the things I knew about him from the beginning was, A, that he was... I mean, I met him for the first time. I mean, he said, come on over. I'm going to be in my robe and my slippers. And I knocked at his apartment door and, you know, there he is in his robe and his slippers. It wasn't like, you know, he said one thing and did another. He was always, you know, intensely consistent. But I always knew that, two things. I always knew that he was two steps ahead of me at all times, that he was never going to answer my questions, and that I was going to have to make a decision of whether to go along with this or, you know, like dig in my heels and resist it. And, you know, I decided to go along with it. And, you know, for one reason, maybe because I needed to. Another reason that it was more interesting. And number three is because he was a determined person. And, you know, you see that in the movie, the way, you know, Tom Hanks plays him. He doesn't play him as a weak person. He plays him as a strong person, and he was that way.
What surprised you most about your personal interactions with Mr. Rogers?
That he chose me at all. That he decided somewhere along to extend the gift of friendship to me. He didn't have to. I still don't know why he did it. But, you know, the fact is he did do it, and 21 years later, here we sit. And so, you know, so I've been talking, writing, and thinking about Fred now for months because of the movie coming out.
Yeah, and because of that choosing you and bestowing that kindness on you, how do you think that changed your life? What kind of person did it make you as a result of
me? I think it made me more, you know, responsive to goodness. You know, I mean, Fred showed me and demonstrated to me that, you know, goodness was just as perplexing and interesting to write about as badness, which I had pretty much exclusively limited myself to beforehand. and Fred just sort of broadened my scope and just made me, I think he made me ultimately a better friend. And I think I don't want to say that he made me a better person because, you know, the jury is out on that. But I do think that he made me more responsive to my own possibilities. Yeah. It was a great gift to me.
Yeah, that's Tom Junot, who he is the real magazine writer on which this movie, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, is based. Fantastic movie. Great job by Tom Hanks and all the actors in the movie. But today is about the real people of the Mr. Rogers story. That's the real Tom Junot. And I had the great honor of meeting Joanne Rogers, the widow of the real Fred Rogers, passed away several years ago. Joanne Rogers is 91 years old now. I had I bumped into her in an elevator early in the day that I was supposed to be doing the red carpet later that night. Bumped into her, had a lovely chat with her in the elevator in the lobby of the building. She just could not be what you would imagine to be a sweet 91-year-old, very huggy, touchy, loving person. So when I bumped into her early in the day, I said, I assume you're going to be on the red carpet later. I hope I can talk to you. And she said, oh, absolutely. I would love it on camera. So later that night, we're on the red carpet and Joanne Rogers comes along and she's like, oh, there's my friend from Chicago that I met earlier today. She couldn't be sweeter. She's holding my hand and, you know, while we're talking and chatting. And we had a quick little conversation. The real Mrs. Rogers.
What is this experience like for you? Reliving the legacy of your husband.
It's very happy experience. Very happy because so much thought went into it. They really, really worked hard on it, and I appreciate that so much.
What do you hope that we learn about Mr. Rogers out of this that we didn't know before? I mean, we know the show, we know the nostalgia. What do you hope that we learn about Fred that we didn't know before?
I wish you might learn that he had a good sense of humor. I don't think anybody has captured that too much yet, and I hope there's going to be a little bit of that, but I honestly can't remember. So,
What do you hope the message is out of this movie?
The message is going to be that he really wants people to get together. He wants reconciliation. And I think he would do anything he could when he was alive to get that. And he got it through the puppets. He got it through his own voice. It was his ministry. Yeah. It was what he was ordained to do.
Right. So was it ever difficult to be the wife of Mr. Rogers?
No. No,
all the notoriety and how focused he was and how busy he was.
And you know, I'm an entertainer. Fred didn't want to be an entertainer. I played piano and I was really used to the fact that he was very well known, and I enjoyed it. And this makes me very happy for him. I couldn't be happier.
There is Mrs. Rogers, Joanne Rogers, 91 years old. At the end of the interview, it was off microphone. You couldn't really hear very well with all the crowd noise. But after she's holding my hand, you know, while we were talking, and I said, "Would you mind if I gave you a hug?" And she said, "Oh no, I'm a hugger too." And she gives me a big hug, and then kisses me on the cheek. Got a little kiss from Mrs. Rogers. I hope Betty White doesn't hear about this. She'd be very, very jealous. When we come back from the break, I want to know what Mr. Rogers meant to you. Did you watch Mr. Rogers growing up? What did the show mean to you? What did you learn from the show? What did you take from the show? I actually talked to somebody this week. I don't want to make it sound, you know, like it's a terrible thing, but I talked to somebody the other day that said they didn't like Mr. Rogers. They didn't like the show. They didn't like the gentleness of it. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion on the whole thing. But what was, when you were growing up, what did Mr. Rogers mean to you? Or to your kids, maybe. 312-981-7200. A quick break, and then we'll get right to your phone calls on WGN. So, the Mr. Rogers movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. What did Mr. Rogers mean to you or your kids? This is Penny, and you are on WGN. Good morning, Penny.
Oh, good morning. It's so wonderful to talk to you. I love the show. I listen to it every Sunday.
Thank you. Are you having a beautiful day in your neighborhood?
I am, and I'm going to be in quite a few neighborhoods because I'm an Uber driver.
Oh, wow. How about that? Very nice. Well, nice to have you with us today. And when we get done with this phone call, I will rate you between 1 and 5 stars. And you rate me. Yeah, you rate me as well. Yeah, that seems fair.
There'd have to be a plus after the 5 for you.
So what's your memories of Mr. Rogers?
My memory is more watching. My daughter was first generation Sesame Street. You know, she's going to turn 50 this August.
Okay.
And after Sesame Street, you know, that was pretty bouncy and noisy and musical and colorful. There was Mr. Rogers.
Right.
And it just fascinated me how she just was glued to the TV. And I used to think, oh, my gosh, what is the attraction? I didn't realize that the rest of the world was being attracted also. But yeah. I really was amazed at her willingness to not have something loud and noisy in front of her, you know?
Yeah. What do you think the attraction was for your daughter? The gentleness of it?
Yeah. Yes, I think we forget that our kids don't always need loud, noisy toys and you know, activities. They are content with quiet gentleness, obviously. I mean, look how many years he did that exact thing.
You know,
he even got me hooked.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so interesting, and we're reminded of this in this new movie, that, you know, you'd go to the land of make-believe and, you know, all the puppets and, you know, all the fun kind of fantasy things. But yeah. Some days he would talk about divorce. And
right.
Some days he would talk about death, losing someone that you love.
Yeah.
And sometimes he would get into some really heavy things and explain them to the children in a very gentle, matter-of-fact sort of way, which was really interesting.
Right, which other programs didn't do or couldn't do.
Yeah,
he had a gift. He was wonderful.
I'm glad you called up. Safe driving to you.
Thank you.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you, Penny, also. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, eat until you drop.
Eat until you drop. It's good. It's good advice. Thank you, which I try to live by as often as possible. Here's Mary Margaret. You're next on WGN. Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I wonder if you could turn that radio down just a little bit for me.
Oh, sure. Not a problem. Hold on just a moment, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're next on WGN. Good morning.
The show's even better when you could hear it again 7 seconds
later.
Okay,
I just took the plug out.
No,
so
that's okay. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah. So this way, I don't know anything about this particular radio that we have, so I just pull out the plug.
Pull the plug.
That'll take care of everything.
That'll work. Thank you.
Yeah.
So what's your Mr. Rogers memory?
Mr. Rogers, I used to like him quite a bit. He seemed like a real gentleman, wouldn't hurt a fly, and maybe his personality was like that, too. I used to always put that program in for my children. It kind of, you know, if you were kind of on the hypey side, so to speak, you know, they would relax them and they make them real. They were real addicted to seeing Mr. Rogers, and I really miss it. I didn't know Mrs. Rogers, you know, he had a wife, not that it meant too much to me, but I was just kind of surprised because I've been listening to you all morning long, and I thought, well, I got to get through here. I hopefully that I would. And I really, really thought he didn't have a mean bone in his body, and the woman that he married must have been a very grateful lady to have a man like him. He was just a superstar, and I intend to see the show when, you know, Tom Hanks puts that on in the theaters or whatever.
Yeah, it's out.
And,
It's out now. So you can. I'm sure it's going to be around for a while. So you get a chance to.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then I can bring my kids who are now grown up. You know, say, remember Mr. Rogers? Because I remember a lot of stuff. I have three children.
Yeah.
And even one of my kids who has a set of twins. I'm sure they'll like it if my son hasn't already introduced them at the time when Mr. Rogers was living. You know, so it'd be kind of nice to get them all together and see the performance and what have you. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, a nice nostalgic family event, but it's also a movie with a lot of nice morals to it as well about being kind. Thank you for the call and happy Thanksgiving. Hi, Kathleen. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I saw the movie last night with one of my sons. I have two sons that have high-functioning autism.
Okay.
They're both now in their 20s, and they're in college, and they've made remarkable progress.
Good.
But my one son, with that one scene where Mr. Rogers is with the kid that has special needs, and he's swinging that sword around and all that and not communicating.
Right.
Well, my sons were like that. And my 20-year-old son, who saw it with me yesterday, he said, "Mom, I remember." And that was, I'm sorry.
Remember?
That was the power of Mr. Rogers.
Of Mr. Rogers.
Like, kids that couldn't communicate, you know, because they were slapping their face and banging their head and all this, you know, this is what autism does to young kids when they can't communicate.
Right.
But Rogers could connect with them.
He was so gentle and so patient and so loving.
It's an amazing, you know, for me to, because my son at the time, you know, I mean, we put it on and you would hope that they were connecting, right? But for him to, that was the first thing he said when we walked out of the movie last night. And I was like, wow.
Well, how about that? Isn't that beautiful? So I assume you really liked the movie.
I love it.
Sounds like it really touched you. Yeah, I'm so happy. And I'm so happy you called to share that story. Thank you, and I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
There you are, fish. I like giving you some food, too. You are my friend, you are special. You are my friend, you're special to me. You are the only one like you my friend. I like you.
The real Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers.
In the nighttime.
Talking about the new movie, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful story of kindness. And I was so curious about some of your Mr. Rogers real life memories. Phones went nuts, and I wanted to get a couple of more responses on our text line. People saying that Mr. Rogers was an influence for our children. He was on right after my firstborn got up from her nap. The show was gentle and kind and calm. Covered good topics we watched every day. Here's another that says, my girls got all excited with Sesame Street. Mr. Rogers calmed them down. Here is the 773 area code. I was taunted and made fun of in grammar school as a boy. I was skinny and had an overbite. Mr. Rogers helped me to believe that we are all special and that there's only one you. It helped a lot. Still think of him at 52 years of age. Isn't that nice? That's beautiful. I mean, really, that's what you're going to take out of seeing this Mr. Rogers movie. Hi, Peggy. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Love your show on Sunday morning.
Thank you.
And also love hearing you during the week.
Thank you.
But my experience when my kids were little, they're 39, no, they're 40 and 44 now. God, I hate those numbers. But they watched Mr. Rogers, and I'm kind of more of a hyper person, yeah. So he used to annoy me, but my kids loved him. So I never said anything about it, but I had them watch it. And last year when the documentary came out, my daughter and I went to see it. And I was paying attention to the beginning of the movie. And when I looked over at my daughter, I didn't realize that tears were just pouring down her face.
Sure.
He meant that much to them in their childhood.
How about that?
Yeah.
What an impact.
So I plan on seeing this new one with her, too.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy this one even more because it's the story of how Mr. Rogers changed another person's life. It's not, you know, strictly biographical about Mr. Rogers.
It's
a little bit more of a universal message. But, wow, that's a great story, and I appreciate you sharing it, Peggy. Have a great day and a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Hi, Maggie. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I just wanted to tell you, when I was watching my older grandkids, they're in their late 20s now, how Mr. Rogers taught them acceptance in a variety of ways. And the other thing is, there is only one you, like a snowflake. There's nobody on this earth that is you. And I got so much out of him. I still remember a lot of the things that he used to say. And again, like my grandkids, we'll talk about it sometimes. And then sometimes we'll even sing the song.
Of course.
So he gave us a lot of beautiful memories, and I think he really helped all of us, not just kids, but adults as well.
Yeah, when I saw the movie, people were definitely singing along with
the
songs.
Absolutely. How can you not?
Exactly.
So thank you for having this dialogue. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling and participating. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. The movie's out right now, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Frozen 2, Ford Ferrari is out there. It's got some great new movies are going to be opening Wednesday this week because of Thanksgiving. We'll tell you all about those both here on WGN Radio and on WGN TV. I also wanted to mention something that's coming up soon. Julie Andrews has been making lots of appearances on talk shows lately, promoting a new book that she's got out. Julie Andrews is going to be doing an evening at the Chicago Theater that I am beyond honored that I was invited to host. Julie Andrews' people called and said, we'd love for you to host a Q&A with her. You know, we'll sit on the stage at the Chicago Theater. It's going to be on December the 10th, which is right around the corner. And we'll show some old clips of her movies and performances. We'll take questions from the audience. I can ask questions, but we're going to have a lovely time. And to sit with a legend like Julie Andrews is going to be magnificent. For personally, for me, it's going to be amazing. But I think it'll be a really fun evening. So if you want to join us for that, you can get tickets at the Chicago Theater box office, or you can go to msg.com. Madison Square Garden is putting on this show at the Chicago Theater, so it's msg.com or Ticketmaster to buy tickets for Julie Andrews at the Chicago Theater December 10th, Tuesday, December the 10th. And I will be the host for that Q&A. I'm looking forward to seeing her, and I'm looking forward to seeing you too, neighbors.